Okay, we're continuing Perek Kofches, Nigeres HaKodesh, the 28th chapter in the Holy Letter, page 295, or Kuf Mem Ches, with the numbering system at the top of the page. And we're in the middle of a chapter which is a letter which the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe, wrote to his Mechutin, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Boditchev, the famous Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, who lost a child, and a grown-up child, and he is comforting him for this loss by quoting a statement from the Talmud, which tells us that the death of a tzaddik is a kapara, is an atonement for the world. And we learn it out from the fact that Miriam, the sister of Moses, passed away, and the story of her passing is immediately in proximity to the law of the Torah called the Pura Aduma, the red heifer. And the rabbis say, just as the red heifer purifies and atones, so also the death of a tzaddik, a righteous person, purifies and atones. So he asked the question, why do we compare the death of a tzaddik to the performance of this mitzvah of the red heifer, when we have many different kinds of sacrifices, and they also atone? So why choose the red heifer as the example? And in particular, the red heifer, when we look at the actual process for preparing this sacrifice, there's a fundamental difference between the red heifer and the other sacrifices, whereby the other sacrifices are processed, so to speak, slaughtered, shechted, and their blood is sprinkled, and if it's a burnt offering, they're burned on the altar in the temple courtyard at least, depending on what kind of sacrifice it is. Sometimes, like on Yom Kippur, the blood is sprinkled inside, but whatever, it's all within the confines of the walls of the temple. Whereas the red heifer is processed outside, not in the temple area at all. A pyre, P-Y-R-E, is built, you know, a big bonfire is built, and the animal is shechted, and its body is burned on this pyre until it's all ash, the wood and the flesh. The whole thing becomes ash, together with the cedar wood and the hyssop and the yarn. It all becomes ash, and then this ash is the ash of the red heifer, which can then be used to purify the dead. Sorry, not purify the dead themselves, purify those who have become contaminated through contact with the dead. So that is the fundamental difference between the red heifer and other sacrifices. So the question then arises, why is the death of a tzaddik compared to the red heifer more than to other sacrifices? So he's already alluded to the answer by telling us that the fact that the burning of the red heifer takes place outside the camp, that is telling us that the influence and the power of this sacrifice, which it is, although it's a special one, it is nevertheless a korban, a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's more powerful than a normal sacrifice. A normal sacrifice is only like within.
Yeah.
That someone who is within the camp, within the confines, they can become purified. But what about somebody who's completely outside the camp? They might be beyond the pale. We use that expression. They're beyond the pale. They can't. They're irretrievable.
Yeah.
They've gone too far. So this red heifer is saying that even those people have gone beyond limits, and they're in a state of impurity through contact with the dead. And he doesn't mention it here, but we're told in the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, was so upset when he heard that there's a concept of tumah, impurity, through contact with the dead. He says his face became niskarkumu ponav, it says. I'm not sure of the exact translation, but his face became clouded, red, clouded, perplexed, you know, very troubled. He was troubled. And he said to God, how can this person be retrieved? How can he retrieve his position of purity? So God told him, if you do this ceremony of the red heifer, that will retrieve it. But until that moment, Moshe regarded this state of impurity as being like beyond all limits, and it's irretrievable now. Let's just add that the person that has been in contact with the dead body has done no sin.
No.
On the contrary, it could be they've done a mitzvah and they're still in that state.
Yeah.
Such as actually happened with the two sons of Aaron that died when they entered the Mishkan.
Yeah.
The tabernacle on the day of its inauguration, and they died, and Elitzophan and his colleague were sent in to retrieve their bodies, and as a result they became impure.
Yeah.
So we're talking about great tzaddikim who did a good deed,
yeah,
in order to bury the dead. So anyone that comes in contact with a dead body has done nothing wrong. On the contrary, it's most likely that they did a mitzvah, and that's why they became impure. Obviously, it can happen by accident as well.
Yeah.
They can either touch a body or go into the same building as the body purely by accident without any intention of doing a mitzvah. But all those people called the misaskim, all those people that are involved with the burials, such as those that do that go in and retrieve the body and do the tahara,
yeah,
the purification before burial,
yeah,
and dress the body, and so on, and put it in its
kittel,
in the kittel, and then in the coffin, and then take it and transport it and bury it. You know, anyone that's in contact there, they all become impure.
And
so they've done nothing wrong. On the contrary, they've done a mitzvah, but it's still true that they've become impure. And Moshe regarded that as an irretrievable situation. Just as a by the way, let's try and understand what is so irretrievable about contact with the dead. Why is it so bad? What is so negative about it? The answer to that is that Judaism, Torah, is a Torah of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Bo. The Torah described as a tree of life to the ones that grasp hold of it. So the whole raison d'etre of Torah and mitzvahs is life. That's why Jews celebrate life more than any other people. What do we wish each other when we have a drink? L'chaim. I don't think there's any other nation that wishes each other that blessing. You know, in the pubs of Great Britain, yeah, you'll hear cheers.
Yeah.
The glasses clink together. Cheers. What's cheers?
You've been to a few then.
This is general knowledge. General knowledge. So cheers. Well, what's cheers? Cheers. Maybe you're cheering because you're happy. Okay, it's good to be happy, but it's not a celebration of life.
Mm.
Santé in French,
yeah,
means health. Okay, that's also good. But the Jew says l'chaim to life, because a Jew extols life more than anything. Why? Because life is what God has given us in order to perform our task of serving Him. Life is birth. Birth is gives us life. And we've been born in order to serve God. The opposite of life means I'm no longer able to serve God. V'la rosh ein koil. The poor man has nothing. So the rabbis compare a dead person to a poor man. Why? And that's why when we go to a Jewish cemetery, you're not allowed to show any mitzvah. So that's why we tuck our sitzes in. Because why? Because the dead can't do any mitzvahs. They're called poor. La Rosh Ein Kol. They've got nothing. Why? So it's called, if we take our cities out or pray or do a mitzvah when we're in a cemetery, it says, Loyeg Larosh Cheref Hoseil. The Gemara in Brachos talks about it. Loyeg Larosh means mocking the poor man. Cheref Hoseil, it's a blasphemy. What's the mocking of the poor man? Well, it can be literal. The person, a rich man, mocks the poor man.
Oh, yeah.
Go away, you know, you smelly old beggar, can't you?
Yeah.
That's mocking the poor man. And we shouldn't do that.
No.
We should sympathize with his situation.
Yeah.
But where's the dead body of poor man? Because the dead can't do any mitzvahs. Therefore, it's poor of mitzvahs. So meaning the dead have been bereft of the very essence of the whole reason for creation is life, that we should be able to serve God. So hence, Jews extol life. So Moshe is saying, what is this person? He might have done a mitzvah by helping to bury the dead, but now he's been in contact with death. This is the exact opposite of what the Torah stands for. He's at the other end of the scale compared to what the Torah is. He's now in... the Torah is life, and he's moved it to the diametrically opposed end, away as far as you can get from Torah. There's no hope for such a person, says Moshe, before he knew of the red heifer. So Hashem says to him, I've got something that will even be an antidote to contact with death. I've got the red heifer, which I've given it powers to even reach down into areas that nothing else can reach. It's so powerful, it can reach out and take someone on the periphery of the abyss, which is where a person is who's been in contact with the dead, because the dead are on the other side of the abyss. They're in the abyss, because they're no longer able to serve God. That's the worst situation that a person can be in. And the one that's been in contact with the dead is on the verge of that abyss. He's on the edge of that abyss. So how do we get them back? Says God, I've got something that's powerful enough to bring them back from that remote situation. And that is the extra power of the Parah Adumah, of the red heifer. It's so powerful, and that's why the death of tzaddikim is compared to that in particular, as opposed to any other sacrifice. Because another sacrifice will retrieve a person back from doing a sin.
Yeah.
A sin. Well, we all sin, but it's not total death.
No.
Whereas the Parah Adumah says, I've got the power to bring you back from total death, and bring you back into the domain of life. And now, in the last part of the chapter, which we'll try and finish tonight, he goes into this a little bit more, explaining it a bit more. So we're on page 295, in the middle of the page, beginning the new paragraph where it says, behold, in the knowledge of the fact that the Abba, which is Chochmah, which is divine wisdom, it takes sustenance from the 8th mazel. Now this is a reference to the 13 attributes of mercy, which also are called, correspond to the 13 mazolos as well. Sorry, it's 12 mazolos, isn't it? So it's not the 13 mazolos, it's 12. So this is, it's called a mazel over here. It's not talking about the constellation, it's talking about the attributes of mercy. The Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna, as they're called, or the Yud Gimel Midos. So when we say those Yud Gimel Midos, when we go through them, Hashem is the beginning, but there are many opinions say that that is not the first one.
No.
The first one is Kael. So when we go through Kael, Racham V'Chanun, Hashem Kael, Racham V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, Brav Chesed, Emes, Noitzer Chesed. Noitzer. What is this word Noitzer? Noitzer means he forms, from the word Yetzirah. Yotzer. Noitzer. He forms kindness. For who tikkun v'noitzer, oisius oz. What is so special about noitzer? It's oisius rotzer. So this is called mazal hashmini, which means the 8th level of the 13 divine attributes of mercy. And this is the word v'noitzer. And the word v'noitzer is the same letters as the word rotzer, which means divine goodwill. So what is so special about number 8? Well, we know 8 goes beyond limits. Because we normally have, in the normal natural cycle, we have the cycle of seven.
Seven.
The 7 days of creation which lead on to the 7 days of the week. And the 7 years in the Shemitah cycle. And the 7 Shemitahs in the Yovel cycle. And seven appear, and the 7 attributes, the emotional attributes from Chesed to Malchus. And seven appears again and again and again. Huh?
The seven Noachat laws?
Yeah, they're all connected. Yeah. They're all connected. Seven mitzvahs Drabbanon, the seven mitzvahs which the rabbis get. All of the sevens are connected. And there's lots of them. So what is that? That's the normal, what's called Seder Shtarshus. So that's the normal chain system of creation built on the number seven, the cycle of seven. What's eight? Eight means breaking out of the cycle, going beyond, going higher, transcending. That's why the Bris Milah is on the eighth day. Because on the eighth day, we attach ourselves to God in a way of a Bris. And a Bris is a supra-rational, which means beyond rational connection with God. It's not based on seichel. It's not based on rationale. It's beyond. It's an attachment which defies any logic. And we give that to the child at the age of 8 days old. The child is unable to say yea or nay.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. That the connection between the Jewish child and God is not something which we can analyze and decide upon. It's there as an absolute beyond any analysis and beyond any natural forces. And so that's the number eight.
Right.
So the number eight indicates something going beyond. And Ratzon, the Ratzon Hashem, the divine will, that is something beyond. That's called Seidev. The beyond Seidish Talshlas, it's beyond. It transcends everything. Because that's the ultimate motivation behind everything, the divine will, which willed the whole universe into creation with an objective of serving in through Torah Mitzvahs. That's what's behind it. And this is a time of goodwill which is revealed and shines in a revealed way from above. So therefore, when a tzaddik passes away, it is akin to a revelation of the divine will which is beyond all natural limitations. These are the great righteous ones who serve God with love, giving over of their souls, Lashem, to God, b'chayim, during their lives. Arvish shachris, evening and morning. B'kriyishma, we're saying the Shema. Shalideza, yomalim, man, la'avo, b'kriyishma, kayadua. Through this, we mentioned man before, which is Mayim Nukvin. Through this, they elevate the feminine waters, which refers to the Isarusa de Latata, the awakening from below, which means the efforts of mankind down in this world are elevated through the tzaddikim. To Avor, which is Abba V'ima, which is the Chochmah and Bina, Ilah, the higher level of Chochmah and Bina, through saying the Shema, which means Ibigigebenkeit in Yiddish, giving oneself totally over to God, Kabbalah's Oil Machos Shemaim, receiving upon oneself the yoke of heaven, attaching oneself to God beyond any rational limits. The Chaim B'Talmud Torah, the Mechochmah Nafka, so this applies also through their Torah, which comes from divine wisdom. And so we're attached, the tzaddikim attaching themselves directly to wisdom. And from, because of this, through the awakening from below the tzaddikim, this draws down a response, which is called mad mayim duchurim, from that high level of tikkun v'noitzah, which is beyond all natural limits. And that is what shines into the world when the tzaddik passes away. As is known, that all the efforts the person put into his life in this world during his lifetime, they exist above. Everything that we do down below in this world exists above in the higher worlds in a concealed way. It normally it's concealed. In the world of Atzilus, we don't see what we're achieving down here. But on the day that the tzaddik passes away, all the achievements which he achieved in the world of Atzilus are suddenly revealed in the world. They come down. And through the revelation of the enlightenment, the shining forth of this level of Vinoitza Chesed, this very high level of the eighth level of the 13 attributes of mercy, which itself is the idea of Rotson, which itself is transcendent. At the time, Bibti Rotson, when the Tzaddik passes away, Me'er Chesed Hashem, Me'olam Adolam Adireyav, through that, there is a kind of reflective light of the kindness of God from world to world on those that fear Him, Rupal Yeshua's Beker of Horetz, and it has an effect of salvation in the midst of the earth, L'chaper El Hoven Adar, to atone for the sin of the generation. In other words, we're all beneficiaries of it. Even people have gone beyond, and are irretrievable because they've been so naughty. Afgam ala zedonis. And how do we know this? Because it even atones for purposeful sin, shemi gimel klibas atmei shalamata minoga, which exists within the three types of unclean klipot, shells or husks, which are the powers of evil in the world, which are not neutral powers, but they are lower than and worse than the neutral area, which is called noiga. And that normally you can't atone for so easily, only through repentance and suffering, and normal sacrifices do not atone for these. Lefisha mazal de noitza memoichin stimod arechampim, because this mazal of noitza, which is rotzen, comes, is related to and comes from the moichin stimod, that means the hidden moichin, which means intellect, which refers to the chokmah of the level of keser, or pnimius keser even, or he says arechampin of the chetonius keser, the external side of keser, which is the divine will. Makoira birurim, which is the source from where all purifications of anything come from. And the darkness which is there present in the breaking of the vessels in the world of Tayu, which I think we talked about last week, that gets transformed into the Olam Atikum, which means the world of rectification, which means the consolidation and the scalarless, which in combination of all the great, powerful, infinite, mighty lights of that wild world of Taihu are channeled and controlled through the world of Tikkun. And that means we have tremendously powerful forces harnessed into a usable form for our sakes to transform even evil, which is beyond any redemption, but the Paraduma can retrieve it, and the death of the Tzaddik also. Whereas Masha'in came b'kabbonah shalgabim is there, but whereas with normal sacrifices, Sha'in mechapim melal shgoga shem miskabes nevesh ba'amis shem shabenoig minoiga. A normal sacrifice can only atone for doing a sin by accident. It doesn't atone for doing things on purpose. That's beyond. We can't bring a sacrifice for that. Because why does a person come to sin by accident? That's because his animal soul has become too strong. And that's because we fed it too much by overeating and overindulging in physical and material and worldly pleasures. We strengthen our animal soul that eventually they should come to and make us make a mistake. We didn't do it on purpose, but why are we doing it at all? It says, "La yuhuna la tzaddik kol ayin," that a tzaddik doesn't experience any wrong, even by accident. So why are we doing things wrong by accident? The answer is because the nefesh ha-bahamis, the animal soul, has been strengthened through overindulgence. So those are the stages. Overindulgence in permitted things leads to mistakes, and those mistakes lead on to doing things, becoming insensitive, and becoming insensitive leads on to doing things knowing it's wrong, but maybe regretting it, and that leads on to the further stage of doing things wrong and doing things wrong and knowing it's wrong and doing it lahachis, which means on purpose. So there's a whole seder here, but what we're saying is that a normal sacrifice cannot atone for anything beyond doing things by accident, whereas the Parah Aduma can atone, and the death of the Tzaddik can atone even for doing things on purpose. Shkamash Gossip Likutei Torah, Parshas Vayikra, like he's written in the Kutei Torah, another work by the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe, in the Seder Vayikra, V'lechein Nisvachal Parshas Parah, Dafka. And that's why the death of the Tzaddik is put next to and relates to and is compared to the performing of the red heifer. Ma Parah Mechaperes, just like the red heifer atones, so Misa Tzaddikim atones, so the death of the Tzaddikim atones also, but in a way far, far beyond anything that can be achieved through the normal sacrifices. Therefore the whole world gets an elevation, the whole world gets a purification, and the whole world can start afresh and serve God with a renewed vigor. And this, it also is relevant to what's been going on now. Let's just finish the let's just finish the chapter, the last few words. And in the Yalkut Shemoni, probably, in the Seder Shemini, where it talks there about the death of the two sons of Aaron, there it says that the Mechatos, the waters of the Chatos, it doesn't say Paraduma, but the waters of the Chatos, which refers to the sprinkling of the waters. So it's not materially different to what we've been saying so far. So what it's saying is that the death of a Tzaddik is for sure an elevation for the whole world. It's a benefit to the whole world, even those that have gone beyond the pale and are not normally retrievable, even they can be retrieved and receive their kapara. And why I say that it is relevant to where the times we're living in now is because we just, all the whole world knows of the terrible tragedy which took place in Mumbai.
Yeah.
And there we know that the people that died, or were killed rather, in the most horrific circumstances, because they were tortured as well, is that they were certainly tzaddikim, they were righteous people, they were good people, they were learned people, they learned to learn Torah and did mitzvahs, and were there for the purposes of helping other Jews, which is nothing higher than that, and yet they were killed. So this is the death of a tzaddik or tzaddikim, and this is an atonement for all of us, and therefore there's a kind of new leaf. We can turn over a new leaf now, knowing that the past is behind us, and we can improve even further without the need for any more tzaras. And from now on, we should only know of good things, happy things, joyful things, and not even need to have these atonements, because we don't need atonement, because we won't have anything to atone for.